Sound of his voice, seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well.
Matthew chapter 26:26-28. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out to many for the forgiveness of sins." Amen. Let's take the elements. Brian.
Good morning. Welcome. If you could pass your cups to the center aisles, the ushers will be coming along to collect those from you.
I wanted to take just a moment and express my deep appreciation for all of you who served so magnificently yesterday. The preparation that was taking place the night before. Our guests were deeply, deeply moved by the care that you demonstrated for their household. I spoke with several of the family members, and more precisely, several of the family members spoke with me to express how blessed they were to see the care that was extended to them and the history of loving support for Tim and Molly and their family through these years. I was so incredibly proud of how you put the Lord's love on display yesterday, and I didn't want the moment to pass. Additionally, I wanted you to know that prior to yesterday, Tim was very sick, and he asked God to give him grace to get through yesterday, and the Lord did. And the grace lifted sometime in the night, and so he's back in bed this morning, appealing to us for prayer on his behalf that the Lord would restore him. Now, keep in mind that he's gone through a tremendously challenging emotional ordeal, and he's quite depleted. So his system is weak, his mind is still a little fuzzy, so I want us to keep giving great grace to him for whatever period of recovery it's going to take. And if you ask him to do something and he forgets to do it, don't think harshly of him. I'm trying to keep him out of the office as much as possible for him to find some time of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. So we'll just continue to carry him in the months ahead until he's himself again. Thank you.
And if that task goes unanswered, I'm the Tim task sponge right now, so feel free to direct it my way. Thank you. I want to give a special welcome to our visitors today. If this is your first time visiting with us, welcome. You were given an information packet as you came in the door. Please fill that out, and you can put it in the offering basket as it goes past here in a few moments. Also, there will be a reception following the service in the hospitality room, which is the last door on the left as you head out of the building. Just a couple quick announcements. For all of you procrastinators, you have 4 days left to get on the February month of fasting bandwagon. There's a sign-up sheet out front, but don't feel limited to that. Please feel free to jump in with the rest of us procrastinators. A couple of gender ministry things, and by the way, gender ministry is the term I use for women's ministry and men's ministry, so if you hear me say it again and won't be confused by it, it's the gender ministries to me. So the women's ministry is going to be having something on the 23rd of March. If you want to mark that on your calendars, details will be coming out. Also, the men's ministry is going to be having a bonfire on March the 9th. The details will also be coming out about that. And I think that's it. I think I got everything. All right. Jesse, make it you.
Thank you, sir. The book of Malachi tells us that to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in the house. Test me in this. I don't know, but this is one of the areas we're in. God is telling us to test him. Says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. It will prevent pests, for I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. And all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord. Amen. Let's pray for the tithes and offerings. Lord, we thank you. Lord, it tells in your word that you, to test you in this commitment of faith as we bring forth our tithes and our offerings. This is not to aggrandize your church, but to continue to propagate your kingdom. Because that is our faith, Lord God, to see your kingdom unfold, Lord, in this world. We just bring you back. The glory, the honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Micah?
I just wanted to say that we're going to go ahead and take the teens up today.
So there will be teens group today. So if the teens can go up and meet upstairs. Awesome. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pride and honor to give you our very own Reverend Pastor Robin Beal.
I'm sorry, I made a promise. I wanted one of my little friends that comes from River Song to go upstairs to the teen, and I promised to walk her up, and I didn't realize it was going to come at this time. So Rayma's fulfilling my duty. Thank you, Rayma. But I wanted her to make it upstairs. I am so ecstatic about who Jesus Christ is, and these last few months I've had a lot of time just to spend resting and thinking and praying, and even through the accreditation. And I woke up the other night, and this is what was on my heart, what I'm going to speak on, and just how the Lord spoke it to me. So I'm going to give it back to you the way the Lord spoke this to me. So if you would turn with me to Matthew, if you have a Bible. If you don't, just look up here. It'll be here. Matthew's the 16th chapter. We're going to start at verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and I want to just leave you with this. This is just a little history because it's important. It was 25 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, but what makes this important is that this is where they had erected a temple to Auguste Caesar. And it was where Jesus was first identified by Matthew as the Messiah. This announcement demonstrated to Caesar and to every idol and every mythical god that he was the Messiah, and that he was the true Messiah, the one that reigned. He asked his disciples a question there, and there he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And here it says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I thought about this. I woke up with this on my heart for this reason, because I think that we are coming to a place where the church is under intense pressure. People are placing Christians under intense pressure. And we know what the government thinks that Jesus Christ is. We know who they think he is. We know who various people that are in leadership think that he is. But do we know who he is personally? One of the things that I've endeavored to walk in my life is to know who he is in my life. It's not been easy being a woman in ministry. As I have traveled in ministry and been in ministry, I have had times when someone literally tried to attack me by running up towards me at the prison in Pennsylvania. And he ran up and he said to me, "What gives you the right to preach? Why would Jesus call a woman?" And I had the opportunity of knowing who Jesus was in my life. When it was over, I was scared, I was shaken, but I still preached the gospel because I knew that Jesus Christ had called me. And I knew that I was not alone. Hear the men of the city. So they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, and others say you're Jeremiah, and one says the prophets." Jesus went about healing the sick, casting out devils, restoring the hearing and sight, ministering and serving the people. Yet he knew the philosophers, leaders of the day, and like Herod, those that negotiated the town business, tax collectors, officials, and those head of the army and the commoners all had an opinion of who he was. Somebody's always going to have an opinion. I was thinking, I had some people knock on my door, and they were from a particular denomination, and I said, "Thank you for coming, but I already have Jesus Christ in my life." They said, "He's a good man." I said, "No, he's bigger than a man. He's a king. He's the creator of the universe." And when we got done and I stood there and I talked to him for a while, the guy said, "Obviously, you know more about who he is than I thought." And I said, "Yes, because when he has truly been in your life and has truly brought you through every single solitary day, you know who he is." But all of these people watched Jesus. They watched him cast out devils. They watched people's lives change. But yet there was something missing, because they really didn't know who he was. They thought, "Oh, he's good." They thought that there was a possibility that he was John the Baptist resurrected. But this is what John had said in John 3:28. You yourselves could testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but am sent ahead of him. Yet Herod and the others thought he might be John the Baptist resurrected. Some thought because of the miracles and saw the similarities of the miracles that he was Elijah. And others thought because of the trouble that he was in and all of the people that disliked him that he might be Jeremiah. I was thinking, then others actually said he was just a prophet. But the question took a turn and it became personal. You see, the disciples walked with him day after day. Their lives transformed by the living and walking word. They ate with him, prayed with him, talked with him. They watched the miracles up close and personal. They did hands-on ministry with him. They felt his emotions and could feel his heartbeat. Matthew 16:15 said, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? My question today for you is, who do you say that he is? In a little while, we're going to get interactive. I thought you would enjoy having just a moment of an interactive ministry, because I want to know, who do you say that he is? Let me tell you, you're going to go through some things in life and you need to know who he is. You're going to walk through some areas in life and you need to know who he is. There have been times in my life that I've had people that didn't like me and I didn't even understand why. But I had to know who he is. I've been places and felt the rejection, but I had to know who he is. I've had times in my own family as I stand and I talk to them that there was rejection and I didn't understand. I had to know who he is. Who is he in your life? It doesn't matter what is said by the unbeliever. But for the Christian, those he's changed and transformed, you need to know who he is. Has he transformed anybody in here? Has he changed anybody in here? Has he delivered anybody here? Has he brought anybody out of darkness into hallelujah? Because if he's done that, you need to know who he is. Allow me to pose the question again. Who is he? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I've had people walk up to me and they said, you always say, he's a living God. He's been living in my life and he is living. He shows up at times that I don't even understand. On last week, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I could feel like this nudging. And I knew that there was no demon in the room, nobody bothering me. And I could feel this nudging. And when I opened my eyes, I have said this to Pastor before, I felt like something just brushed against me. I knew he was there. And I sat up in bed and I began to raise my hand and tears began to fall and I began to worship. And when I stood up, I went to my knees because the Spirit of the living God was there. And I started talking and worshiping, and then I got to a point that I couldn't say a word. And when I was growing up, they said, if you can't say a word, just wave your hand. And I just started waving my hand because I was in the presence of a living God. And I knew that he was there, and I couldn't say a word, and I just waved my hand in his presence. I want to tell you something. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, it had not all been revealed to them yet, the resurrection and all of those things, but he knew he was the Christ. He knew who he was, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And my favorite part, he said, and I say unto you, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Peter was the rock, and he said, I'll build my church. The thing is that you get into arguments about silly stuff, but the church is going to stand. You don't need to argue with people about the church. The church will stand, and God will build the church. And he's going to build the church whether others want him to build it or not. We are going to see an influx and people coming in and people going out. But the body of Christ will always stand because Jesus Christ is there. And he will build his church. Oftentimes we think it's our duty to build the church. But I'm going to tell you something. It's our duty to build the building. But Jesus Christ builds the church. Because as we walk with him, we talk with him, we stay in his presence, the anointing of God will draw people in. And people will come to know Jesus as their Savior.
Amen.
I'm downstairs, and recently, I'm pretty locked up in there in the office because we're working on accreditation again. And in the midst of that, I'll hear a knock at the door. And it'll be a parent, and they'll say, can I talk to you? I would like for you to pray for me. And we pray for the parents, and we seek the face of the Lord for different situations. Well, one mother said, I am so glad that this school is here. Because my whole family's life has changed. My entire family's life has changed. We have seen families go back to churches. We have seen families go to churches for the first time. We have seen children's lives transform. We have not only seen children's lives transform, but we have watched God move as he built his church inside of young children. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When the enemy would to rush in like a flood, there will be nobody that can stand against the church. Nobody. And there's no one that can stand against us as we're standing in Christ. I'm reminded of just a testimony that I saw on television of a lady that was at a grocery store and a guy was getting ready to rob her, and she turned around and she said, in the name of Jesus. And he fled. He took off running. Sort of like what we saw in the story of the prayer room. We saw that. Matthew called him the Messiah. I laughed because an interviewer asked a few people, who do you say he is? And this is what they responded to. Jesus? Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus Christ? First century Jewish preacher? Religious leader? A figure of Christianity? Influential person in history? He has a bestseller. I was thinking, oh boy, we need to dust up a little bit. They need to find out who Jesus is. They knew the name. They knew the story. But they weren't saying they possessed the power. As I finish, I want to talk to you just a little bit. I grew up in the Pentecostal Holiness Movement. And then I went over to the Church of God in Christ and was ordained in the Church of God. So I've kind of been a part of everything. And now I'm Assemblies of God. I'm in the Assemblies of God. I want to tell you just for a minute where my foundation came in my strength in knowing who he is. Because I have had to come to a place where it couldn't be just talk. I had to come to a place where it couldn't be just what others were telling me who he is. Because you've got to know, you've got to stand the test. You have to stand in the midst of all types of trials and the midst of all types of temptation. You have to stand. And when others don't like you, you have to stand. You see, we always think, I'm always telling my son, life is not a popularity contest. Because he says, I don't think they like me. I said, they don't have to. He said, Mom, you don't understand. Everybody doesn't like me. I said, oh, William, isn't that amazing? That they don't all like you. I love you. But they don't all have to like you. It's not about that. Who do men say that he is? Val, who is he? Who do you say he is?
He's my king.
Amen. Who do you say he is, Pastor? Who do you say he is, Jay? Pastor Jay? Who do you say he is, Rhema?
My friend.
Who do you say he is, sister back there? In the black blouse, right there. Yes.
Comforter.
All right. Who do you say he is, Anita? Who do you say he is, sister?
He's my father.
All right. Who do you say that he is? Amen. We need to know who he is, because I am leaving with you today. Growing up in that church and growing up around a lot of people, especially some women that taught me to pray, my prayer life was developed because of people that I was with. I may not know a lot of things, but they taught me to pray. They taught me to seek the face of the Lord. They taught me to hear the voice of God. This is how the testimony service would start out. This is what they would say. He is the Christ. I remember Hattie Milligan. She died many years ago. She said, he is good. He is the second person in the Trinity. Let me tell you why she said that. God raised her up from cancer, and he delivered her, and she walked around on earth for 90 years, praising and worshiping God, and the woman would dance in the front of the church, and we would laugh because, you know, we were kids, and we'd see her dancing, and she'd sashay, and we would laugh at her, but she said every time we'd hear her scream, he is good. He's second in the Trinity. He's the first and last author and finisher of our faith. He is, my mother would say, a tried stone. She said, I tried him and he held up. He's a tried stone. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is my sweet Savior. He is my all in all. He is the head of the church. I call him the living God, the Savior of the world. He is the resurrected one, one Lord of our lives. He is my king. He is over the entire universe. I call him sweet. I call him Rose of Sharon. I call him bright and morning star. I call him heart fixer, mind regulator. I call him, and the children of Riversong call him Waymaker. What's been amazing is I taught the children for graduation this year, the song Waymaker. And in teaching them that song, it has become a hit downstairs. I want you to know that children that are two are walking around saying, Waymaker, Waymaker, Waymaker. What my parents have said, you know, you don't think about these things when you are teaching children songs. What has happened is my parents came and they said, could you tell me where to find that song? They have gotten the song, they're playing it in their cars, they have sent it out to relatives. Grandma came and said, thank you for teaching my granddaughter Waymaker, because she is singing it at my house. She came to Pennsylvania, sung Waymaker every single solitary day. My kids sing it all day long. And they're so little. And you think to yourself, do you really understand that he's a waymaker? And I hear them whenever something goes on. Waymaker, miracle worker. They're just singing. I did not know that song would have this effect, but one of the parents said to me, I have had to, because of that song, take my children to church. Because my children have said to me, Mom and Dad, why is it that I don't hear that song when I on Sundays? Why are we not going out of the house? Why is it that I am not having that chance to hear this? So she said, well, we will go one Sunday. The little girl woke up that morning and Allison said, today is the day, Mom. Today is the day. And they've been going ever since. And they listen to the song coming into church. They listen to the song coming into Riversong. And a song did this. A song clarified to the little girl who Jesus Christ was. A song clarified to the little girl what he can do. And now it's clarified it to the point that it's brought her family to the Lord. There is going to be a pause in the taping for a moment. And I'm going to ask everyone to stand for just a moment. We are going to have an altar call. But I call Brother Brandon to ask, can we hear this? Because this is what my children are singing. This is their description of who Jesus is to them. You say, I am going to give my heart to the Lord. Someone trapped. You're not sure, and you're fighting against something, and you're warring against something, and you're trapped. So you go forward and you come back and you go from side to side, but then you come back. Seasons, sometimes people have seasons in their life and they're trapped in different seasons. I'm here today to ask you to come to the altar. We want to pray with you. If that's you and the struggle is real, every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray with you. I understand seasons. I have watched people and been with people over and over and over again that have struggles in various seasons. I'm telling you, don't walk away from your family. Don't walk away from the church. Don't leave, because Christ is here. Come down very quickly if you're here. And those that want to accept Jesus as your Savior, please come. And those that are going to pray, please come to the altar with me. We thank you, Lord. This is who He is. And in your life today, He wants to be that. So please, don't leave today stunted. Don't leave today holding off. Don't leave today confused about your life. Come down to the front and let people pray for you. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. I thank you because, Lord, you have taught me who you are. And Lord, thank you for such a wonderful church and wonderful pastor and wonderful people that have also influenced my life, even the more teaching me who you are. My foundation that I stand on is sure. My foundation is not shaky. And Lord, many people in here are standing on that sure foundation with me. I pray today, Father, that you would bring those that are standing on a shaky foundation or not standing on the foundation at all, bring them to know you as a personal Savior. Today is the day of salvation. The day you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Father, we thank you. I love you, Jesus. And we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, give the church rest, Father. Give the church and give the people rest. Rest in their spirits. Rest in their minds. As they walk through this process, Lord, rejuvenate them. And your spirit, Lord. Holy Spirit, rest upon each one and in the every room of their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
in addition to what's happening here, earlier the Lord showed me like an ancient banqueting table. And as I entered into the space where this table was, I looked on it, and on it were all kinds of ancient worship pieces, such as oils and water basins and things like that. And I felt like the Lord was inviting us both to a renewal and a refreshing. For example, one of the ancient practices in my own life is I sit in silence for 15 minutes. And I allow my heart to speak in the presence of the Lord. And I have found over time that that clears space in me for the Lord to speak. So it's an old practice, and it also has the opportunity for refreshing. So I think the Lord today is saying there are old practices of worship and intimacy and connection that bring both stability and refreshing. And I think today is a reminder and an invitation.
We thank you for all you're doing here this morning, how you're speaking to our hearts, and how you've set a table before us. Holy Spirit, I thank you for how you're at work among us today, leading us to the Father. We thank you. I'd like to make one final appeal. If you are feeling your hot heart drawn up to your by what you've heard today, by what we've been experiencing, by the word that was released, and you hear that, and you hear that invitation, I'd invite you one last time to come up front and pray with those that are up here to receive you. But we're going to dismiss right now and ask that if you are going to fellowship with one another, please do so outside our doors here in the lobby. But if you feel drawn forward, I'd invite you to come forward. Praise God. Bless you all. Look forward to this week ahead, and just ask for God's grace to be with you. Amen.